Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo. Bring them out, 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 bring them out.
And welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay, we got JC, and you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great holiday season. We'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. That's our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going, as always, not only on this show, but all throughout the day here on Chicago's Home for Sports. My friend, it's good to be able to see you again.
Great to see you. Happy and healthy New Year to you. It's a blessing to be here with you each and every morning, and really excited for 2023. Shay, JC, it's awesome to all be together. After what we watched last night, it just puts, you know, sports is great, but it puts everything in perspective.
No question about it. Yesterday, Monday Night Football, Buffalo safety DeMar Hamlin had his heartbeat restored on the field after suffering cardiac arrest during the team's game Monday night against the Bengals. He is currently in critical condition at a Cincinnati hospital, according to the Bills statement that they released early this morning. The chilling scene midway through the opening quarter led the league to postpone the game about 90 minutes after kickoff. Now, as we were watching this, Cap, all of this happening at one time. We're watching Monday Night Football. The Bulls and Cavaliers are playing. Other NBA games are playing. And then all of a sudden, you're just looking up and you see a young man at his 24 years of age make a tackle on T. Higgins, and then he just collapses. I mean, what's your initial reaction when you see something like that?
So I had, like you, I had the Bulls on. I'm flipping over to Monday Night Football. I normally go in the basement because I got multiple screens there. Mm-hmm. But my son and grandson were over for dinner. Little Ben wants ice cream. We're watching the basketball game. Flip over, there's the football game. So I get in the car and I drive to go get him ice cream. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we do. And I walk in the house and I'm not hearing any chatter coming out of the family room. And I walk in, and my Garrett was a college football player. I go, whoa, what's going on? And he's like, it's not good. Well, what? Somebody's being taken out in an ambulance. I assume it's a hit, and we see it happen a lot. Mm-hmm. Guy goes down, and they have to put him on the board and the whole deal. He said, we think he had a heart attack. What? Mm-hmm. And then I look on my phone, and there's the replay, and he just collapses. We were just silent.
Yep.
Oh my God. And to watch the medical professionals go to work and do what it is they do, and then to read multiple people that were there. Every team has a emergency scenario, and they rehearse it every summer. If somebody goes down, Jonathan, here's your job, and this one's this job. And it's rehearsed. And they said it worked to perfection how fast they got out there and got the ambulance on the field. And then when the ambulance paused leaving the stadium so his mom, who was in the stands, could catch up and ride with him to the hospital, that was a good sign that they didn't have to, it wasn't so life-threatening at that moment that they had to go. They waited for her. I thought maybe that's a good sign. You were trying to grasp at anything that was a good sign, but to watch what we watched, it was chilling.
It really was. And so, and just like you, I'm in the Hood Cave, and I've got the sound up on the Bulls and Cavs because the Bulls got off to this great start, and we're seeing this collapse, how this is happening for the Bulls. and I've got the Laker game on Monday Night Raw on another screen, and I'm seeing what we normally see. I thought I missed the play, and I actually did, Cap, because when I start to see players huddling around a player, I said, boy, we see this has become so commonplace, like, what's wrong? Because I don't have the volume up. I'm not sure exactly what's happening. Then we see that replay, as you mentioned, of Hamlin just falling down and then collapsing. And then he received oxygen, according to the ESPN broadcast, placed in an ambulance, and was taken off the field some 16 minutes after he collapsed. It's like, wait a minute, what is going on? And then we come to find out what really happened. And I just want to point this out. I'm just glad that whether it was the players or the coaches of the National Football League that made the decision, I'm just glad the game was canceled, because that was just a hot controversy on social media on why isn't this game canceled? What's going on? You know, people pointing the fingers at Roger Goodell. Here's what I look at. Cap, there are some that will look at this and say the game should be immediately canceled as soon as the ambulance hit the field. But we didn't know exactly what was going on until it was described to us at ESPN of exactly the condition of Hamlin. And so I'm just glad the game was canceled, because it gave me that WWE vibe of Owen Hart from Kansas City, that situation where Owen falls from a broken harness that he was had above the ring and then fell to his death. And then Vince McMahon said, well, you know what? He's dead. Move on with the show. You know, just like, well, now time for another match. And it's like, wait a minute. If someone dies or if there is a tragic situation, you stop the show. It's entertainment, for God's sakes. You don't have to continue to play. I know that there were some that's thinking, okay, we'll move the drill. You don't move the drill in that situation. The raw emotion from the Bengals and from the Bills and everyone around that just told you there's no need for another snap. There's no need for more football after what happened in that tragedy.
I was talking to a good friend of mine who broadcasts around the Bengals, and he called, and we were just going over what had happened, and then he said Joe Burrow, who I love Joe Burrow. I'm a big fan. Big fan. And I'm a big Josh Allen fan. Mm-hmm. I hear they're good dudes. They're great football players. He said Joe Burrow left the locker room and went right to the Bills locker room and was consoling Josh Allen, who was just in tears of what was going on.
Yeah.
And they said here came some other members of the Bengals into the opposing locker room, which you don't see that. That's their space. You do not see opposing players in other locker rooms. They said to see what they did and come together and bond and try and console, it was pretty heartwarming to see in this horrific situation the way the players came together. I thought it was really cool. I thought the medical personnel, hats off to them, man. That's why you rehearse these situations. You hope it never happens.
Those are the real heroes, the EMTs.
Those are the heroes.
Yeah.
What they were able to do, and they were able to restore his heartbeat. And we don't have any more information yet. When we get it, we'll pass it along to you. But, yeah, to see how fast they all got into action and everything worked the way it's supposed to work. We just say a prayer for that guy, man. Sad.
Shay, I know that you were watching as well this Monday Night Football broadcast. It just gave me that feeling of what happened to Shazier from Pittsburgh or Dennis Byrd from the Lions, as far as, hey, you know what? We know it's a very physical sport, but when you see the type of silence and the type of events that happens, you're just like, it blows your mind because you don't know what's next. I mean, a guy having to be revived on the field, it's something that is always in the back of your mind. You hope everyone is safe after such a violent game, any game for football.
It really it put things in perspective when you're watching it, because I remember sitting down and being so excited. I mean, it was the game of the year. Mm-hmm. It was the most consequential game of the NFL season. It's Bills-Bengals. I'm so amped to watch this. I remember thinking in the first quarter, this is probably going to be the highest regular season rated game, at least on Monday night, in a long, long time. And then this happens, and it just, like, that all came to a stop. You don't think about any of that anymore. It's just, is he okay? Is he going to be okay?
Yeah.
And we got to move forward from this. But I got to tell you, too, it was an interesting thing, because if they, like, when they had the talk about restarting the game, I didn't want to watch football any more than they wanted to play it. I don't think anybody wanted to watch football in that moment.
I'm just glad that whether it was the players, was the coaches, the NFL, whomever, Troy Vincent, or those in the front office, Cap, as long as they came to the consensus, like, yeah, there's no need to continue to play this game, I think that's great. I think that what really hit home for me, Cap, is that you're seeing these EMTs, these first responders, Cap, they're cutting his pads to get to his chest.
Yeah.
Cutting his football pads, like, we got to get to his chest so we can get his heart revived.
Correct.
That's serious business right there.
Serious, serious business. And you think back, the only other time we've seen something like this, Dennis Byrd was a neck injury.
Yeah.
Ryan Shazier, yeah. Mike Utley. Mm-hmm. We've seen a bunch of those. God forbid we ever see another. But in a game at Soldier Field in 1971, Bears and Lions, Chuck Hughes had a heart attack and died. And they said later, they called it then hardening of the arteries. He had high cholesterol, all of that. But he didn't get hit and then go down like this. He just was jogging back to the huddle, down, done, gone. Horrible. But we did not have medical personnel back then with the defibrillators and all of the things now that, as I said earlier, if you're just tuning in, they rehearse this in every stadium before the season starts. And 99.9% of the time, the medical personnel sit there just like a fan and watch the game. The one time that it has to work, it did. They did all they could for this young man, and now he has been sedated. They have a breathing tube down his throat. But they said his marketing manager tweeted last night, his vital signs are stable. He's now been sedated. So we'll just keep saying a prayer, and if we get any type of breaking news, we will give it to you then. But, yeah, just a horrific situation to watch on the field.
The broadcast team of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, as well as Scott Van Pelt, Ryan Clark, and others around that broadcast, did a really good job of trying to explain what was going on and try to talk through a very difficult situation. Ryan Clark last night with more on Hamlin.
It's about a young man at 24 years old that was living his dream. A few hours ago was getting ready to play the biggest game of his NFL career, and there's probably nowhere else in the world he wanted to be. And now he fights for his life. And when Damar Hamlin falls to the turf, and when you see the medical staff rush to the field and both teams are on the field, you realize this isn't normal. You realize this isn't just football. And so many times in this game, and in our job as well, we use the cliches, you know. I'm ready to die for this. I'm willing to give my life for this. It's time to go to war. And I think sometimes we use those things so much, we forget that part of living this dream is putting your life at risk. And tonight, you know, we got to see a side of football that is extremely ugly. A side of football that no one ever wants to see or never wants to admit exists. When you see both teams on the field crying in that way, your first thought is Damar Hamlin.
Yep.
The second thought is his family. And this isn't about a football player, right? This is about a human. This is about a brother. This is about a son. This is about a friend. This is about someone who is loved by so many that you have to watch go through this. We should remember that these men are putting their lives on the line to live their dream. And tonight, Damar Hamlin's dream became a nightmare for not only himself, but his family and his entire team.
Ryan Clark with Scott Van Pelt last night on the coverage of Hamlin on Monday Night Football. 9 straight losses for the beloved. Talking about the latest with the Bears coming up next on the ride back to work. It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Captain Jay Hood, Mornings 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in today. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll hear from Albert Breer with the latest on what happened with Mr. Hamlin and everything else around the National Football League at 8:35 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Well, Cap, you know, what we saw on Sunday was the worst loss of the year for the Bears. And that's saying something for this team that just has a string of L's as of late. My thing is, if everyone feels like Justin Fields is the guy, when will we see the fruit of his labor and the offense come together? If Justin Fields is the guy, and everyone is from a consensus, from a national standpoint, the majority of people think, okay, the Bears finally got their guy. So exactly when does this come together? Because no matter how talented you think that Justin Fields is, or if you think there's more room for him to grow, like, when will we see him in a winning environment with the Bears?
So,
when's that going to... I mean, listen, you and I are on the same page when it comes to Justin Fields.
Correct.
Okay, so, but it's one thing to look at the talent, but it's more than just the talent that's going to get you there. You've got to be able to have a plan in place. And we could talk about from the outside, well, you got all this free agency, and you've got draft capital, you have all these things. But, Cap, that doesn't necessarily mean that next year or even in 2 years that the Bears will get to where they want to be. Just because you have one talent, you have to have more than just the one talent. And even that talent has some question marks around it.
So we are all assuming, all of us are guilty of it. We're assuming that Ryan Poles is going to hit on all his draft picks, on all of his free agent signings, and that everybody he wants in free agency automatically is going to the Bears if they want him. Automatic.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. I reached out to one of my guys who works in the league as a scout, who I went to school with. I said, let me ask you a question. Let's assume they have the number one pick or the number two pick, and they don't, in their idiotic ways at times, find a way to beat the Vikings this Sunday. So they guaranteed at least number two.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Texans lose, they get number one. Either way. He said, Cap, 55% of first-round picks make it and become really, really impactful players. He goes, go back through the last 7, 8, 9 drafts and tell me how many guys got to second contract with the same team. That percentage is even lower. He said, so just because you're picking there does not mean that the next Lawrence Taylor is rolling into Chicago. It just doesn't work that way.
Correct.
He said, you guys are years from competing to go to a Super Bowl. Years. I go, how many years? He said, 3 at least. And that's if Poles is generationally good at his job.
That's a fair number. It's a fair number. Even though I told you at the end of 24, I expect the Bears to be somewhat in the mix, and I'm giving them credit because of the extra wild card.
Correct.
Now, here, we don't usually judge a draft after the first year, but we could just talk about what's happening in the here and now. Say, for instance, that the draft that the Bears have in the next couple of years are guys like Brisker and Braxton Jones and Kyler Gordon and Dominic Robinson, you know, those picks. And what about those guys? Brisker, Gordon, Jones, Robinson. Any of those guys, for sure, you could say, for sure, in 2 or 3 years, they're going to pay dividends for the Bears.
I believe Brisker and Gordon will. I really do.
Yeah,
Dominic Robinson? Yeah, whatever. Who was the fourth one? Valus Jones.
Yeah, Valus Jones is in there as well. So
I have no idea if he's going to make it. Okay. He's got speed. I saw a really nice kick return the other day. I don't think he's as bad as he's been portrayed because of the fumbles. I think he has a chance. It's going to take a little bit of time. I just look at the roster, and I said this to you in July. This is not Monday morning quarterback. They have the worst roster in the National Football League. Worse than Houston. That's a fact. You go look. Houston has Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. We don't have a Laremy Tunsil anywhere on our offensive line. Do they need a quarterback? Absolutely. They 100% do. But if you stack their roster, which isn't good, against our roster, other than Justin, their roster is better.
Ultimately, this is the epitome of starting from scratch if you're the Bears.
Correct.
I mean, from the beginning. And here's why I could say that without any pause. For the most optimistic Bears fan, It's about the development of Justin Fields, making plays in the pocket and better value of the football. That guy carries the football like a loaf of bread. He's got to get better as far as securing the football.
No doubt.
He's got no value of the football, the way he fumbles it over and over again. And that's not offensive line. That's just his inability to hold on to the football. You know, you got to be able to find three or four new offensive linemen. You got to find two or three wide receivers. You've got to be able to find a defensive line. Not just a player, a line that can get pressure.
Yeah, like five guys that can rotate in.
Line. Not like one player, like the line.
Correct.
Like a whole line.
Correct.
When you are last in sacks, you have to look and say, well, where are we getting pressure? You're not getting pressure from anywhere.
Nowhere. And we've got no three technique in the middle that helps stop the run.
So when I go back to the draft picks and talk about Velus Jones and talk about Brisker and Jones and Gordon and Dominic Robinson, I said tongue-in-cheek with you, the only guy that really I could tell for sure is the guy is Gill.
Yeah, the punter.
Because that guy can come back for me next year, sure. Gives you a good field position. But you have to make significant upgrades in free agency. Oh, and by the way, yeah, what about the head coach? He's got to be more than a CEO in a Bears hat to be able to implement his HITS principles. He comes in here with these HITS principles. The Bears are not even a one-hit wonder. There's no HITS principles. You're not even one-hit wonder at this particular time. I'm watching a guy here that's looking around and saying, I got to look at the tape. And then when you see the tape, it's the same result. It's still a loss.
So, Jonathan, I have been supportive of Matt Eberflus. Have I not?
David, yes.
I, for the first time, have serious doubts about his viability long-term as a head football coach. I'm being serious with you here.
You just got here. What do you mean?
I think he's a good man. I think
he's
an intelligent human being.
Uh-huh.
The fact that he kept Justin Fields on the field the other day when he's A, in the blue tent to get his concussion checked, he cleared. And then they got to use the Theragun on his legs because his legs are cramping up. And his shoulder, he has said multiple times, yeah, I dinged it again in the Buffalo game. I did this when I pushed off on Kenny Clark in the Packer game. And you keep playing him? Do not listen to people that tell you he's learning. He's out there. He's learning. These are good situations. That's an idiotic, stupid take. He is the future of this franchise. He's got no receivers. Stop with the Claypool love. He's a number one. Yeah, okay. He's got no receivers. He was running for his life. Did he miss some opportunities to throw the ball away? No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. The guy's got PTSD. He's been sacked more times this season than any quarterback in the history of the franchise. 55 times so far. If they run him out there on Sunday, that's coaching malpractice. That's exactly what it is. I don't care if he's going to break Lamar Jackson's record if he gets, what did I tell you, Shea? 64 more yards? 63 more
Correct.
Yards? 64. 64 yards. What does that mean to me? Nothing.
Right.
If he plays, it is idiotic. It is stupid. And the fact that they kept that kid in the game down 38-10, do not listen to anyone that tells you these are learning situations. He learned nothing except how to get the ever-living H beaten out of him.
Now, here's the difference between the National Football League and the NBA. If an NBA player says, I want to get out there and I want to play, it's a player's league. Mm-hmm. And they control it. It's the most 50-50 there is in sports in which a player and personnel are, or a player and people that are in the front office are pretty much on the same page, Cap. 50-50, right?
Agreed.
NBA players and coaches and personnel.
That's why you need a coach who can get along but still coach the players.
But in the NFL, it's different, though. My point is, in the NFL, it's different in which, you know, if Justin Fields keeps telling Eberflus, yeah, I'm good, you know, I can go out there and play. You know what? The answer is no. You may feel like you could play, but I have to be able to do what's best for this football team and what's best for you. I mean, what else do you need to see if you are Eberflus as a head coach? If you're Poles, what else do you need to see from Justin Fields that says, okay, if he plays this one more game, then that gives us exactly everything we need, all the intel that we need to be able to discover whether or not this guy is our guy or not. There's nothing else to see.
Correct.
You don't learn anything from the Viking game? Here's what I saw. I saw 75 passing yards, 7 for 21 passing for Fields. I saw 55 combined rushing yards for Herbert and Montgomery. I saw 3 for 13 on third down, 7 sacks allowed, and a partridge in a pear tree. There's nothing else for me to see. I said this, Shay, I believe when I was in New York, I said this against when they played the Jets. Like, there's nothing else for me to see even back then. I didn't need to see Justin Fields back out there again. We know that he's going to be the quarterback moving forward. If really it's about trying to get the number one or number two pick, then you know what? You play Peterman. If that's what it's about, you want to solidify your number two spot, then you have the backup quarterback in place. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the point then? What is it that they need to see that says, you know what, I think we need to play him one more time against the Vikings?
Nothing, and that's my point. It's stupid. It is dumb. It is arrogant. It is idiotic. And if they run that kid out there on Sunday and something happens to him, they should all, I'm talking the whole crew, the GM, the head coach, all of them should be fired. If they put him out and he gets hurt, you're putting your career on the line. If that kid, what if he blows an ACL? What if he gets hit and he further damages the what if he damages his throwing shoulder? Not even the other side. Well, we thought Justin was learning. He's a football player. Football players play. No, they play when it matters. This game does not matter. And if we want to truly be honest, you don't want to win. It would be so Bears-like to slide to the fourth or fifth pick by winning. Dumb, idiotic coaching at 38-10 to leave him in.
You save him from himself. I'm sure he keeps telling the coaching staff, I can go.
I love it.
So you say you can go. We know you're a gamer. We know that you'll play hurt. We know that you'll play injured. Okay, so all of that has been solidified. So what else do you need to know?
Completely agree. There's nothing else I'm going to learn. Justin, I love that you want to play, man. You're not dressing on Sunday. You're out. I'm going with Peterman and whoever, Tim Boyle, mm-hmm. whoever it is, the guy on the backup. No, absolutely not. And do not be fooled. There's things you can learn. No, there isn't.
Not anymore. Not against the Vikings.
Not at that risk.
No, absolutely not. So, Shay, let's open the phone lines here this morning. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Should the Bears have sat Justin Fields on Sunday, do you want to see him against the Vikings? Let's get your thoughts overall about the Bears here. It's the first time, obviously, this year that we've talked together about the Bears. So let's discuss it. It's Chicago's Home for Sports, Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Do, da, dippity. You can go with this, or you can go with that. You can go with this, or you can go with that. I think you can go with this, because this is kind of fat.
Hold on. I gotta steal the rejoin here for a second. I got to call my friend Jonathan Hood the other night. Harder to get a hold of than the president.
Well, I don't have my phone as an extra penis like you do.
I do.
I just have one. That's all I need.
Texting him. I'm calling him. I'm texting his wife. I'm calling her.
How about that, Shay?
And he finally gets back to me after Georgia dispatched Ohio State. Jonathan Hood is the 2023 winner of Sportscaster of the Year by the Pitch and Hit Club of Chicago. The great Ken Miller reached out to me and said, would you like to tell him? I listen to you guys every morning. I'm a huge fan. Or would you like me to tell him? I said, oh, no. I want to tell him. He said, okay. And I called my friend. He finally got back to me after his heartbeat was back normal for you or had to be out of your mind with the Georgia game. I said, I have news for you. What's that? You are the 2023 winner of the Sportscaster of the Year Award. You said, what? I'm not kidding. This is the truth. You are the deserving recipient of this award. You'll be honored in a banquet. I think it's the 22nd of July, of January.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Hood, congratulations.
Thank you, very much.
You deserve it, and that's awesome.
It is awesome and surprising, by the way. Didn't know they knew my name.
Yep.
The Pitch and Hit Club.
They absolutely do. And Ken is a huge fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He listens. He said, I love you guys in the morning. And I'm a huge Jonathan Hood fan.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Congratulations.
I appreciate the honor. Thank you very much. How about that, Shay? How about that?
Hey, they got a good one. That's all I'll say.
Yep.
I think they did right with this award.
Absolutely. As Cap always says, I'm one of the good ones. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. And don't forget Albert Breer an hour from now. How about that, JC, right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. We're talking to you about the Bears. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. We say hello to Harding listening on the ESPN Chicago app in Charlotte. Hello, Harding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, buddy?
I'm watching that Bears game, and I had immediate concerns on that sack when Hutchinson got with Comiskey and Fields kind of bent to his right and his hip got kind of stuck down there. I said he had to come out of that game. But listen, here's my sentiment about this draft pick. I'm terrified, and I'm going to tell you why. Ryan Poles has not executed a trade yet. We're on a surface-level analysis. We all said he won that trade. Khalil Mack left. We all said, could he have gotten more? Robert Quinn left. We said, I guess we'll take it. Like, even the Roquan Smith trade, we're like, we wish we could have got, you know, just a little inkling more. So what I'm concerned about is if we get the first or second pick, the first, you kind of got to move out of that, right? Like, mm-hmm. But hopefully you only go back to, like, the third, maybe the fourth at absolute worst. But if you get that second pick, I don't want Ryan Poles negotiating anything right now. I want him to take the as most guaranteed prospect as possible, whether that's Jalen Carter or Will Anderson. Take either one. I'm willing to gamble that they don't pan out over Ryan Poles negotiating some trade that ends putting us in a second round or like late first round because we think we get a couple more shots at making some picks. No, I want that impact player now because if we're looking at a projection of 3 or 4 years out for contesting for a Super Bowl, I want real impact players. I don't want like the, okay, they're a starter. Like, I don't want that feeling. I want a defensive side impact of Justin Fields or something of that nature. I want a TJ Watt. I want one of those kind of players to come in here and make an impact for Chicago because we live on defense, guys.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And it's fair to say, but as we've outlined, Harding, wherever you're trying to fill, whatever bucket you're trying to fill on this football team, you could get it right as far as filling the bill, right, Cap? I mean, offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver, running back. Whatever this team is so bereft of talent that it doesn't matter if they trade the pick, if they stay with the pick. You just got to find talent. You just have to find it.
Well,
now, no matter how you get it, you need talent away.
Did Harding not say he wants a TJ Watt?
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, well, guess T.J. Watt went 30th.
Yeah.
30th!
Yep.
I am totally opposed to Harding's take on this. He's entitled to his. If the right trade makes sense, and you look, and I'm not telling you to trade the number two pick for 7 fourth-round picks. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, if the right phone call comes in, hey, you go from 2 to 8 or 7, and we'll also give you 2 more number 1s like the Niners went from 12 to 3 to get Trey Lance, and they got 2 more number 1s, the team that they traded with. All in. Let's go.
Cap, well, however you do it, you just need talent.
Talent.
However you do it.
Will you drop Will Anderson from Alabama or Jalen Carter from Georgia? You drop that one guy on the team. They're still the worst roster in the National Football League.
You're still digging out from underneath.
Correct.
Because you're still the worst team in the National Football League.
Correct.
That just had the last loss. And again, everyone's focused on Justin Fields and understand that football, especially, it's commonplace now to talk about offense and the quarterback because that's what everyone talks about. That defense sucked Sunday, and it's been sucking all season. But it gave you an idea of how bad this defense is. I don't like to use, as you well know, don't like to use the Q word when it comes to sports because I don't know what's in the heart, in the minds of players individually. Mm-hmm. But my God, you talk about a team that shut it down against the Lions. They made business decisions out there Sunday. Did you not see that?
They did. You can't
do that.
You cannot.
I don't care how bad a football team that you are. It shows up on film. And if Eberflus is not going to do anything about it, keep telling him to look at the film. Well, what you're seeing is a bunch of guys that shut it down on Sunday. I hate to use the word quit, but I'm just telling you that what I saw out there was it was 1-2-3 Cancun. That's what I saw out there. That's what I saw out there.
1-2-3 Cancun. I like that.
Is it fair? Like, we've talked all year about how half this roster maybe won't be here next year. I mean, we saw if you were on this team last year, you weren't on this team this year. Is it fair that maybe players are thinking, we're not going to be here next year anyway? Who cares?
Like, no.
They don't have a job to play for.
No, they do. There are 31 other teams that look at every bit of that film. Yes. No, absolutely not.
I agree with you, but I mean, Hood's right. We saw a lot of guys out there just lay down.
I didn't like that at all. You're going to get your ass beat because you're just not very good and you don't have a lot of talent. But when you just shut it down, well, you're not wrapping up and tackling. You're just letting guys go through like it's August, like it's a preseason game. That just won't get it done. If we've got to invest our time, or some of us financially invest our money into watching this product, and you do that, and you have a defensive coach, supposedly a defensive coach here that just says, I got to look at the tape and doesn't give you any answers, that says a lot. I mean, you could say you don't tolerate it, but it's happening all the time. It's a lack of talent, but also a lack of your hits principle. They're not buying in. And as Cap, you've been saying this a lot. Just like Ditka when he first got here, there's a lot of these guys that won't be around when this team is good.
Correct.
Maybe the coach won't be around when the team's good.
I tweeted this the other day. If you really think back to all the people back in July and August and early September, you're just negative. They can win 9, 10, 11 football games. That is some of the dumbest takes I've ever heard. All you had to do was look at the roster. They have the single worst roster in the National Football League. How many of their guys start for other teams? Truly. Not one of their receivers. Mm-hmm. Probably not one of their offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. David Montgomery would start for some teams. He's a good football player. Justin would start for some teams. If they were going to give up on Justin, there'd be a lot of teams in line. Give me him.
Komet
would start for some teams.
For some teams, yeah. And listen, everyone needs special teams.
And a couple of their defensive backs. Jalen Johnson would play somewhere. Brisker and Gordon would get opportunities somewhere. Beyond that, that team is awful by design.
You can keep hoping and wishing for Brisker and Gordon, but just like any young player, I got to see more. Sorry, Cap. That's not... Leslie Frazier out there. These guys in the secondary.
Agreed.
It's you still got a long way to go before I'm thinking that these guys are going to be perennial all pros. You might see some semblance out there every now and then, but on this football team, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced.
I don't disagree
so
with
just,
you.
You are projecting that Brisker and Gordon are going to be good. I hope so. I haven't seen enough to be convinced that that's going to be the case.
I personally believe it's been such a rough year. They're just physically and mentally whipped.
How about Velus Jones? He whipped?
He had a hell of a return the other day. He did. What did he return? What, 60-some yards? 63 yards.
And then what? And what is other yearbook highlights do you have for him?
That's it.
All right. 3-1. I thought you had more highlights about it.
It's just...
No.
It's a bad team by design. By design.
Yeah.
And it's going to take multiple draft classes and free agency periods, stack one on top of another. If you think it's a quick turnaround, you're out of your mind, in my opinion.
Shot or no shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Your thoughts on the Bears shutting down Fields right here on Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Albert Breer at 8:35. The great Alex Brown, our favorite Gator, is going to be with us at 9 o'clock. We'll talk everything Bears NFL with him as we go back to the phone lines to talk to you. Your thoughts on the Bears shutting down Justin Fields? Should he have even played the entire game against the Lions? Should he play against the Vikings? I don't need to see anything more from Justin Fields. He may tell Eberflus, oh, no, I'm good. Thumbs up. I'm good. I could play. It's not a lack of leadership if Eberflus says, okay, we're going to shut you down. Because I know the thing that's in that locker room, Cap. If Fields says, yeah, I'm good, I'm not going to play, you know, the rest of the team's like, wait, I'm out here. But, you know, Fields has to say, I'm good enough to play. He has to say it because he's the leader of this football team. However, if you're Eberflus, you're like, yeah, I appreciate your leadership. Step aside. Let's bring in Peterman. That's how you do that.
Correct. I'm not asking Matt Eberflus to walk to the podium when he talks to the media and go, look, we're one game from picking in the top two. I'm going to do all I can to make sure we lose this football. I'm not asking for that. That's not what it's going to happen. Guess what? Justin's had a really good season. We feel really good about the future. His body has taken a beating. Justin Fields will not be playing on Sunday. Period.
Here he is from Melrose Park. It's Joey G.
Joey!
Happy New Year, guys. How are you?
Happy, healthy to you, buddy.
Number one, my family and myself, prayers are going out to DeMar and his family. It was just a tragic scene. It was jaw-dropping for me.
It was.
Yeah. Number two, Jonathan Hood.
Dad.
Congratulations on your achievement and your outstanding work.
Thank you.
To win the Sports Writer of the Year. Is that what you got?
Sportscaster.
Sportscaster of the Year. Congratulations. I know I have fun with you. I'm being sincere.
Thank you very much.
Number three, I was with you, Hoodie. Back when the Bears played the Jets, I'm Eberflus. Justin Fields is already in Cancun. I am not jeopardizing my future quarterback. I've seen enough. And I don't care if people want to see the passing game. Okay, it's going to come. And number four, that's all I can say is Joe Burrow, he is nothing but class, gentleman, just a great man at his age to do that and go to the locker room and support the Buffalo Bills.
And it's not about team. It's about humanity in that spot. It's about humanity. Like, I don't care what uniform I care about the player. I care because he's one of my guys. Yes, we're going back and forth, and we're trying to beat one another on the football field because that's how we make a living. But ultimately, it's about humanity, Cap. It's not about the game at that point.
Correct. This is not a guy who tore his ACL in the heat of battle. It's not. This is different. It's one of your brothers in there,
right,
and he's down, and you don't know if he's going to survive. And people wanted to, are we going to go back to play? Stop.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Oaklawn, here's Tom on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. Congratulations, Hoodie, on your award.
Thank you.
As Cap was saying earlier, he's saying that this team, because of how terrible the roster is, that the NFL scout friend of his was saying that they're about 3 years away from really competing. And if that's the case, and if the other case is like he's saying, Justin has, you know, PTSD because he keeps thinking of when am I going to get hit next? Then do you seriously think, if you do get that number one overall pick, of maybe even drafting a quarterback? Because, first of all, by the time you're competing, and this is assuming that you give them the 50-year option and everything like that, you already have to then think about giving them that next contract. And also, if he doesn't have the confidence to step up in the pocket because he continuously thinks that he's going to get hit, then do you really want a quarterback that continuously is looking around thinking that he's going to get hit? And bear in mind, I don't think Fields is a bust or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think just like you guys that he's a work in progress and he still has to work on certain things, but I think that he can be the future. But, you know, you brought up all the scenarios and everything like that. So if all those scenarios are true, then do you seriously think about, you know, drafting a quarterback number one overall?
All right. We appreciate the telephone call. No, I would not draft one overall at number one, but I do believe in drafting a quarterback each year, the Ron Wolf theory. At some point, if he's one of the best available late in the draft, I actually would do that.
Well, you don't have one on your roster behind him. Nathan right. Peterman? No, thanks. Nice kid, I'm sure. No, he's not your future. Tim Boyle off the practice squad from the Lions? No, he's not your future. No, I've got Trevor Siemian, who will be back as my backup. I want a developmental guy wherever I take him. The fourth round, the third round, the fifth round, the sixth, seventh, whatever it is. The fact of the matter is, I believe Justin Fields will be a superstar when you surround him with talent. He will turn 24 on March 5th.
Mm-hmm.
That is a baby. And he is playing on a team that is so, to use your word, bereft of talent that it's embarrassingly bad. They picked a lane and got rid of all these guys. Okay, this is what it looks like when you go through a massive rebuild.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes.